Thanks for joining us for the start of a new week of CNN Student News. I'm Monica Lloyd. Before we dive into today's show, how about a quick quiz on world leaders?
Time for the shout-out. Which of these world leaders is Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad? If you think you know it, shout it out. Is it A, B, C, or D? You've got 3 seconds. Go! The answer here, A, is for Ahmadinejad. The others in order of appearance are Afghan President Hamid Karzai, Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf, and Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. That's your answer, and that's your shout-out.
The Iranian leader is in New York right now taking part in the General Assembly of the United Nations. The forum gives UN members a chance to discuss world issues, and President Ahmadinejad is scheduled to address the assembly on Tuesday. Now, before he came to the U.S., he asked city officials if he could visit Ground Zero. They turned him down. But as Mary Snow tells us, another event on his itinerary is raising controversy.
Even though the Iranian president's request to visit Ground Zero was denied, outrage is building. Columbia University is opening its doors to the man who denies the Holocaust ever happened and who said he wants to wipe Israel off the map. Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel, for one, says if it were up to him, he'd expel Ahmadinejad.
This man is a disgrace to diplomacy, a disgrace to international relations, a disgrace to culture.
Columbia University says it wants to challenge Ahmadinejad firsthand on his beliefs.
I think that the idea that exposing our students and faculty to a first-hand look at a major world figure is certainly a satisfactory rationale.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn says she's all for free speech and says Ahmadinejad could practice it on any sidewalk in New York. But
there is no reason why he should be extended the privilege, not the right, but the privilege of an invitation to such a prestigious university where he will use that stage to spew his hate.
Quinn is calling on the university to withdraw its invitation, but Columbia is holding firm. Republican presidential candidate John McCain also turned up the pressure, referring to Iranian-made bombs and rockets used by Iraqi insurgents. A man who is directing the maiming and killing of American troops, he says, should not be given an invitation to speak at an American university. But Professor Richard Bullitt says it is because of war that Ahmadinejad should be heard.
Here we have an opportunity in a situation where there's potentially another war to hear directly from the president of the country that we could find ourselves at war with.
Interest to hear Ahmadinejad at Columbia is intense. The university says it gave away about 600 tickets for the event within the span of an hour. Now, Columbia is one of the places Ahmadinejad will be allowed to visit in New York when he attends the UN General Assembly. His movements are restricted to within a 25-mile radius of Manhattan once he's here. Mary Snow, CNN, New York.
So how many countries are members of the UN General Assembly that's meeting this week? And where did the term United Nations come from? Our one sheet on the UN gives your students some background on the international organization. Check it out at cnnstudentnews.com. Another world leader whose picture you saw in the shout-out is at the UN right now, too. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is asking the group to take a larger role in his country. Last month, the UN Security Council voted to expand its mission in Iraq. And Jim Acosta explains why al-Maliki thinks the time is right.
Face-to-face with U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, the U.N. Secretary General, and chief diplomats from 20 nations, the Prime Minister of Iraq made the pitch that security is getting better in Baghdad. The goal for Nouri al-Maliki, a greater U.N. presence, and eventually, a larger international role in Iraq.
The security situation, as you know, started to improve, and Baghdad today is not Baghdad yesterday.
But it's a tough sell. This was the first meeting between the Prime Minister and Rice since that deadly shootout involving Blackwater security guards. Rice stayed away from the incident, instead saying simply the Iraqi people need the UN support.
I think an understanding that the Iraqi people have made a choice for a democratic life, they've made a choice against terrorism, and now it's the international community's responsibility to help them.
But UN worries about security linger. There are lasting memories of what happened when UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon visited Baghdad back in March. The UN has maintained a limited presence in Iraq ever since the deadly 2003 bombing of its offices in Baghdad. But in his remarks at the high-level meeting, Bond cited what he called a deteriorating situation in Iraq, noting the flow of refugees out of the war-ravaged country. The Secretary General said now is the time for world leaders to do more.
There was a clear agreement that the international community cannot turn away from or ignore Iraq. Its stability is our common concern.
Maliki's diplomatic mission has so far been largely overshadowed by the controversy surrounding the upcoming visit by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. As the UN General Assembly meets this week, Maliki and the war tearing his nation apart will be sharing a crowded stage. This may be Nouri al-Maliki's moment, but there's also plenty at stake for the U.S., which is just as eager to see the international community step up to help end an unpopular war. Jim Acosta, CNN, at the United Nations.
Let's go for a shout-out extra credit. What are Satchmo, Dizzy, and Bird? You know the drill. Are they baseball players, jazz musicians, airplane models, or skate tricks? You've got 3 seconds. Go! Louis Satchmo Armstrong, Dizzy Gillespie, and Charlie Bird Parker are legends of the jazz world. That's your answer, and that's your shout-out extra credit.
The Monterey Jazz Festival has been home to the music genre's legends for 50 years. It's the longest-running jazz festival in the world, and every year, students just like you get the chance to perform there. Now they aren't as famous as Dizzy and Bird, but these junior jam artists are hoping to make their mark as the next generation of instrumental icons. Brooke Anderson has more on the All-Star Orchestra.
The mission of the Monterey Jazz Festival from the beginning has been to promote and perpetuate jazz all around the world. Young jazz artists can participate in the festival's year-round jazz education programs and compete for a seat in the prestigious Next Generation Jazz Orchestra. I caught up with an 18-year-old jazz drummer who hopes to rise to the top here at Monterey. Jazz musician Adam Starkoff. At 18, just a kid, but on the drums, wise beyond his years. Starkoff and fellow classmates from the Los Angeles County School for the Arts boarded a bus this spring with a dream: to take part in a competition put on by the Monterey Jazz Festival to find the best high school bands in the country.
Welcome to Monterey and let her rip.
Take a look. These young virtuosos could be the future of jazz. The competition is a cornerstone of the Monterey Jazz Festival's efforts to promote jazz education.
Going through our programs from the 70s and 80s, pretty much every year you can spot somebody who has gone on to have, you know, a recognizable national, international jazz career.
Saxophone players Joshua Redman and Dave Koz are just a couple of the jazz greats who have benefited from the festival's programs. Trumpeter Terrence Blanchard, Monterey's artist in residence this year, helped mentor and educate the students.
When you walk around this conference hall and you see all of these kids who are really interested in playing this music, it's really exciting.
Adam's school dominated the competition, winning 3 major awards.
And our top ensemble from Los Angeles County High School.
And this teenage phenom walked away with an individual win, earning him a seat in the Next Generation Orchestra, the festival's high school all-star band, which recently played at New York's Lincoln Center. A golden opportunity, Adam hopes, is a launching pad for a future filled with the rhythm of jazz.
I'd like to play music professionally and just like have that lifestyle and be happy.
Adam certainly has a very promising future in jazz. Now, the Monterey Jazz Festival pours $700,000 annually into jazz education. Reporting from the Monterey Jazz Festival in beautiful Monterey, California, I'm Brooke Anderson.
That's the last note in today's show, but we'll leave you with some of the sounds of the Next Generation Jazz Orchestra. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I'm Monica Lloyd.